Now abide these three: faith, by which we see the glories of the eternal spheres; hope, by which we mount towards them; and love, by which we grasp and inherit them. Therefore, the greatest of these is love. Love, amid the other graces of this world, is like a cathedral tower, which begins on the earth and is at first surrounded by the other parts of the structure. But at length, rising above buttressed walls and arch and parapet and pinnacle, it shoots spire-like many a foot right into the air, so high that the huge cross on its summit glows like a spark in the morning light and shines like a star in the evening sky when the rest of the pile is enveloped in darkness. So love, here, is surrounded by the other graces and divides the honors with them. But they will have felt the wrap of night and of darkness when it, that is love, will shine luminous against the sky of eternity. Men, belonging to Christ has connected you with the one source of this eternal, limitless love which enables you to carry out the command to love your wife. Our own lives at times must be overwhelmed by this perfect love and acceptance, this fervor that we don't have to earn, this impression, "He loves me just as I am," which we take from Romans 5:8, where it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We then can turn to our beloved and show, through imitating love's God for us, the love she needs. If you really want to love your wife, help her always love herself. That is the real secret of turmoil. Men don't love themselves, though. We can read 6 books and listen to a tape in each ear, but the truth is, we are like cornered cats, scared. Many of us are still hiding in the Garden of Eden bushes from the Lord and from ourselves. In self-failure, we lash out at anything around us. We aren't perfect, so we want to get everyone else that way. Suppose you are a man who has grown up without deep assurance of a family's love, and your mind has been fed thoughts like, "Nobody loves me, really." And consequently, you have found yourself thinking, "God doesn't love me." If you have learned to operate on these false thoughts, then you have stopped God's flow of love into the cup of your life, so to speak. Thus, now that it is time to pour love into the life of your wife, you find it doubly difficult to face this dry love cup. Well, what can help you in this plight? You need to get deeply involved in God's Word to pack your mind with ideas new to you, forming new patterns of thought. Don't depend on your own manly strength to stabilize the new thought patterns. Pray for God's love to increasingly fill your heart. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul explains in Romans 5:5. No matter what you feel, thank God for the facts about his love for you. John 13:1 confirms his unique love. And as he, speaking of Jesus, had loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the last and to the highest degree. John 15:9-17 gives us a real in as far as our place in Christ's love. "I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, that is, give up, his own life for his friends." John 17:23 repeats the astonishing fact that we are loved by God just as equally as he loves our sinless Christ. "I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and be perfectly united, that the world may know that you have loved them even as you have loved me." You see, then, we can know for a fact that God does love us, no matter what our feelings tell us. Who more than your wife would delight for you to share in detail with her what God's love has come to mean to you? Not only do we as husbands need to be convinced of God's love for us, regardless of how we feel, we need to remind ourselves to love our wives through our feelings or emotions. Feeling resentful, impatient, jealous, angry, or in general hurt means that we are expecting something from someone rather than trying to meet their needs. These negative emotions are direct opposite of the true expressions of love that you went through on page 100 and 101 in your study. Why don't we just admit that often we can plan on feeling selfish or unkind because our ways are not God's ways? But we can turn every one of our ways or human emotions into a prayer. Lord, thank you that I just got angry. That's just like me to want to use my wife instead of love her. I would like to respond to her as you do. I'm expecting a more attractive appearance or greater social graces or so forth. I give that to you right now, Father. I don't feel like loving her. But what does she need? What would you do? Talking things over with God in deep and honest prayer, claiming victory, can often release the flow of dammed up love or veiled love to spill or shine on your wife's heart, making a difference for now and for all eternity.